Hello, everyone. Welcome again to another new episode of my podcast, Flight Attendant Confessions. My name is Sabrina, and if this is your first time listening, I am a flight attendant, and you're listening to my podcast about my confessions of what happens in the airline industry. Obviously, not everyone has the same experiences, but my experiences, I've had a lot, and from these past 2 weeks, there's a lot to talk about. So I am just gonna go ahead and start with what happened to me on the plane and not on the plane. And currently I am in State College, Pennsylvania for my overnight. Today is day one out of 6 days for me on my trips. Yeah, it's. I hope it's not too rocky for this week because it is a super long week, and I want to get it over with and start new again for next month. And with that said, I am gonna start just talking about what happened to me in the last 2 weeks. I know I was supposed to do like once a week, but too many things happened, and I couldn't find the right time to do this. And typically I like to do my podcast when I'm, you know, in an overnight, just because I'll be in my room, there's really good acoustics because they're really well padded. Sometimes I don't have any distractions. Okay, so this is really like, I enjoy doing my podcast when I'm, you know, in my hotel rooms. Currently, I am, since we got here like about not too long ago, I am kind of waiting on my food that I ordered. I ordered some Korean dumplings and bulgogi. So I'm waiting for that. It's supposed to be here in like 5 minutes. But anyway, okay, so something strange happened to me. It's not strange. My friends would say this is very likely of me to do. So basically, you know, how everybody tends to, you know, get busy and you're not fully thinking of a lot of things. You're just thinking of, you know, what you're going to do and your goal, basically, for that one activity that you're doing. So after my trip, when I got back to Chicago, I was very in a, you know, very high up energetic move. I was very energetic and I was like, yes, I get to go home. It's still early. It was like 9 a.m., I think. And when I got to my car, I like to turn on my car first. That way, while I'm putting my bags away, it tends to warm up a bit. That way I can, once I'm in, I drive off and it's fine and I won't have to wait too long. In the middle of that, I had forgotten to unlock my driver's side door, and this is a Toyota Corolla. It's an old car, so everything is manual. Like the windows I have to do manually, and then also the locks I have to open and unlock manually, and I forgot to do that on my driver's side door. So I still had my door open for the passenger side, and I opened the front to put in my little carry-on, and then I opened the back to put the bigger bag in the back. And I closed both of those doors, and I realized I did not open the driver's side door, and my car was running. So I'm trying not to freak out. I go back inside. There's a security guard in this little building where we have to go through and do like a security check to get to the bus and get to our terminals to start our jobs. And I just told him, I straight up told him I was trying not to freak out, but I was freaking out. And I was like, hey, I just locked myself out of my car and my car is running. Like, I don't know who to call. And he gives me lists of mechanics who for the parking lot. And he said, here, like, just call one of these and then tell them that you got yourself locked out of your car and you need to get unlocked. So I did. And I said, hey, I'm in this parking lot number, and my car is off on this side. And they came like 20 minutes later, and it was all paid for by the company. So yeah, that happened to me, and I had a good conversation with the security guard. It was like this Indian middle-aged man, and you know, he was talking about literally everything spiritual and relationships and stuff. And he's like, "Yeah, don't get married. It's okay." He's like, "You have kids?" I'm like, "No." It's like, "Oh, good, good. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your career. It's messy to be in relationships." And he was just telling me, and he's like, "Yeah, I don't understand this generation, how they just, you know, want to hook up but don't commit or whatever, or they commit but then, you know, they end up cheating and whatnot." And I was like, "Yeah, I get it." And it was a fun conversation to have while I was waiting there. It was a weird day for me. Plus, I think it was the same day, from where we were staying at, in Maine, I had forgotten my car keys. And it was a weird thing where, okay, so I forgot my car keys just because the night before I had ordered some Mexican food, and I ordered some jarritos, and I forget that it's those like metal tops that you have to open with the beer can opener things. And I didn't have one of those, and I was like, I don't know how to open it. So I was, you know, Googling YouTube videos how to open those type of bottles, and I told my friends, "Guys, oh, how do I open this?" And they're like, "Oh, just do it on like the tabletop or something." But it was too thick, and I didn't want to break anything, let alone injure myself. So I was like, there has to be a better way. And I know you could do it with the keychain. So that's why I took out my keys and tried to do it with the keychain. But it wasn't working. So at the end, I opened it up, and it worked with some tweezers. Who knew? So now I know. Okay, so I opened the top with some tweezers, and I guess, you know, you learn something every day. You learn, it's something, I don't know, or once a week for me at least, or almost every day. But anyway, yeah, and I forgot to put my keys back in my bag, and when I saw them before I went to bed, I was like, I need to put them away. And in my brain, you know, when you think of something, you think you already did it, but you just thought of it. And that's what happened. So the next morning, I was getting ready. I thought I had everything. I still felt like something was missing in the back of my head. Lo and behold, I forgot my keys. The good thing is, so when we were at the airport, we went through security. We go through the airline crew security, and if you have your badges, you just go through. But sometimes, if you're lucky enough, like I was that day, I had to go through extra security, and which is basically they scan my things and I go through the metal detector. And it was fun because all the TSA people, it was like 7 in the morning, and everybody was, you know, up and energetic, and they were, you know, making jokes and stuff. And also, my boots have a metal slate on them in the middle. So typically, it always beeps in the metal detector. And I forgot to take off my boots, and I told the security, the TSA, I was like, "Hey, what about my boots?" He's like, "I think you'll be fine." So literally, you can feel you can hear people's breathing, because everybody knows that, you know, you usually take off your shoes because it's gonna beep at some point, especially airline crew. And they're like, "No, it's fine." So I held my breath. Everybody else held their breath too. You could feel the pin drop, and I passed through, and it didn't beep. And after I passed through without beeping, everybody just sighed, and you could hear it. Everybody's like, "Oh my gosh." And the security guard, the TSA guy that was very like energetic and happy, he was like, "Oh, I was betting on that." And it was like, I was betting on it too. And you know, we were all just having a great conversation. And how I realized that my keys were missing. So the guy in front of me had left his keys in the bin after his check. So I was like, "Hey sir, like your keys." And that made me realize, oh my gosh, I do not have my keys. So I'm calling, you know, at this point, I'm like checking my pockets and like trying to retrace my steps. And I was like, did I actually put them away? And I was like, no, they're still on the bedside table. So I'm over here calling, like running, leaving my bags in the airplane and calling the hotel at the same time, letting them know, like, hey, this is a crew. I just left. My keys are in my room, right on the bedside table. Check it. And they did. And 10 minutes later, they're like, oh, okay, we're gonna send out the driver. Or do you want us to ship your keys to you? And I was like, no, I'm going home in Chicago right now. Like, I need my keys to go home. And yeah, within 5 minutes before boarding time, I had my keys. And everybody just saw me and was like, man, I wish other people could hustle like you too. Because I was running. Well, not really running, but you know, I'm speed walking. And yeah, that happened to me. Besides getting locked out of my car that same day. And it was just something with my keys that day that was, I don't know what it was, but that happened. Another thing that happened to me last week, I really wanted some snacks. So I went to one of the airports. I went to Chicago. We were in Chicago, and I bought like $20 worth of hot Cheetos with some fruit snacks. And when we got to our overnight, I forgot them on the plane. $20 worth of snacks forgotten on the plane. And I realized once I was at the hotel, it was 3 hours after we got there that I realized this. And yep, the next day they were gone. And I will never forgive myself for that. Yes, I went to buy more chips, but I only bought 2 bags. And so I wouldn't spend $20 on them again. But yeah, that happened to me. Those are the good points, because I'm looking at them as the good points. This is where I had the not I wouldn't say the worst day, but it was rocky. It was a rocky start. And it's always, I don't know what it is, but it's always whenever we go down south, mostly to Missouri, passengers do not want to cooperate with you. I don't know why. They just don't want to, you know, they think they know better. But no, like, dude, like, just listen and follow directions to what we're saying, because technically flight attendants are the leaders of the sky, basically. The pilots are just there to get us from point A to point B. The flight attendants are the ones in charge, basically. So I had these passengers that were right in the front, and obviously I am right smack in the middle when we're taking off and we're landing. And throughout the whole flight, I just sit in the middle. So obviously, like, everybody knows this. Even people that do not fly should know this. Or at this point, they should, you know, it's common sense for people. And like I said before, just once you're in the plane, all the common sense just goes out the window, or you leave it at TSA, security, whatever. Like, you leave it at your house. I don't know. But this one passenger, he was in right in the front, and they had really big bags. Him and this other girl next to him, but they were separate. And the guy, I told him, like I always tell everybody that sits in the front, you know, you cannot have your bags in the like right out in the front, because if anything happens, you're gonna get hurt. I am gonna get hurt just because I am right here in the middle. Your bags are gonna go flying, they're gonna hit whoever is there. Like, it's a safety issue. They need to either go in the overhead like everybody else's, or under the seat if it fits under the seat, if there is space, if the person behind you lets you put your bag under the seat, because technically that spot is meant for the person behind you because it's under the seat in front of you. And if you're sitting in the first row where the bulkhead is, there is no under the seat in front of you. It's either underneath or in the overhead. And it's mostly in the overhead because that's the easiest place. But this guy wanted to argue with me and say, oh no, like, I just had another flight that was the same airplane basically, and it was fine with the flight attendant. And I was like, well, you know, this is my plane. We have some policies from my company, which is a different company. It's not actually the main line that you're flying. And this is my policy, and I am letting you know if anything happens, you're gonna get hurt. The person next to you is gonna get hurt. I am going to get hurt. This is a safety issue. I am telling you to follow these policies. He's like, okay. But he didn't do it. So, you know, I'm just, you know, at this point, I'm giving them a chance to actually do the right thing. I'm telling you, I am informing you. But he just didn't budge. And then the girl next to him had the same issue. She had a big bag and it didn't fit anywhere. So we just checked it. And I was like, okay, that's fine. But she had the other carry-on, which is a bag that was opened. It didn't close. It didn't have a zipper or anything. So if anything happened, the stuff inside would come out. And it would hit her. It would hit the other people. It would hit me. Because it was right in front of me. And I told them, it's like, hey, it's a safety issue. You need to put it underneath or in the overhead. And she's like, okay. And she was about to do it too. And I can feel it. She was literally, she was about to get out of her seat and do it. The guy next to her was like, oh no, it's fine. It's okay. You don't have to do it. Like, excuse me, what? Like, no, I am telling you. And I told the pilots too. And the FO, the first officer, he was really nice. He was about to come out of the flight deck and let them know that, hey dude, like, if you don't do this, because she told you so many times, like, we're gonna kick you out. And I should have done it, but I don't want to be the bitch. I don't want to be those people. But you know, when you have to, I guess, you really have to, you know, let them know, inform them. At the end, that girl was like, I was like, do you want me to put your bag for you? She's like, you can try. I was like, oh bitch, it's on. So I put that the bag over her head and it fit perfectly, but I also popped one of my fake nails I had on my thumbs. It like came out flying, and everybody there knew I was getting like frustrated, and people, they were just like, don't test this girl because you're not gonna get a flight, you know. But I'm gonna say this once, maybe I'm gonna say this all the time, people do not understand. I don't know what it is, but people just feel like they have a right to fly, and no, that's not the case. This is a privilege. You are privileged to fly. Not everybody gets the same chance that you do, especially when it's, you know, flights are expensive. Even if it's the cheapest that you find for $200 or whatever, it's still expensive. Not everybody can afford a flight. Not everybody has flown on an airplane. I still know, like, talk to a bunch of people that are like, I've never been on an airplane. What is it like? Like, it's a privilege. You earn that trip with your hard working money. Not everybody gets that. And I don't understand why. Like, oh my gosh, like, I just want to beat them up, but I don't, like, no, I don't want to get fired. But, you know, like, I should have just told him, it's like, hey, you don't want to follow directions, you know, either would you like to get escorted by the gate agent, or I'll give you a choosing, pick your favorite pilot to escort you out with your bags. Like, I should have just straight up told him, and maybe they would have, you know, done what I was asking them to do. But, you know, I don't want to be the bitch. But, you know, when push comes to shove, I have to be tough and let them know straight. Because, but also it's like, when I was in training, they told us be informative, not assertive. But when you're informative enough and they don't do it, you, I guess you have to be, you know, assertive. And that was the hardest people I've ever dealt with so far. And also, like, you know, like, a lot of people tend to know more than you. And like, oh, I've flown a lot before. Like, this and that. Like, they think they know, but they don't. They just, you know, they're being bitches. It's just, why? Why do people do? I don't understand. Not only that, but then on the second flight out, there was this lady. They didn't know English. She had kids. And they were sat on the opposite. So on the plane, there's one side where there's the extra oxygen mask, and then there's the other side where there's only two, because these are the smaller airplanes. And she had a baby with her and her kid and then her husband, and she was on the opposite side. So I, you know, me letting them know, hey, I know you have a baby. You would want to move to the other side just because we have the oxygen mask. So in case anything happens, you have that extra oxygen mask and you know the baby is safe. And they're like, okay. So, you know, at the end, they were kind of confused a little bit. So there was another flight attendant, thankfully, that helped me out, and she told me, it's like, hey, did you just say that there's another oxygen mask and she has a baby? And I'm like, oh yes. So, I told them again, and at the end they, like, her whole family got situated perfectly fine. And then before takeoff, she had her tray tables out, and I was doing my walkthrough, and I let everybody know, hey, we're about to take off, so make sure your seat is all the way up, your tray table is closed, everything is put away, your seat belts and stuff. Her kid had her tray table like open. And she also had her tray table opened, and she was laying the baby on it. Just, I don't know if like the baby was heavy or whatnot, but like she was just resting her arms with the baby on the tray table and stuff. I don't know. And I told her, it's like, hey, you need to put the tray table up, like, because we're about to take off and it's a safety hazard. And she only did it for her daughter, but not for herself. And I told her, like, you need to put it away. So she pretended like she was gonna do it, and then when I sat down, it was up again, and I was like, oh my gosh. And I told her again, and she did it. But then right when we were taking off, and I told the pilots, hey, like, it's okay to for us to take off, she opened it, and I'm just like, oh my God, like, why people, like, oh my God, like, I don't get it. I don't understand. And then the same thing happened. Like, she basically had it open the whole flight, and then when we were about to land, same thing happened. She did not put it away, and I was like, no, I'm not. I was done. I was like, I'm not gonna deal with it. I do not care. If I was like, sometimes things like that, I wish we had gone through really big turbulence. That way people understand. Like, it's the same thing when you tell little kids, hey, don't do that because you're gonna get hurt. They keep doing it, and then they get hurt, and then they cry, and they end up with like blood on them or whatever, or a bruise. And that's how they learn. That's how I wish flights were like that too. I tell you so many times, you don't do it. I wish we went through really tough turbulence so you understand. I'm sorry, but like, that is just people. That's how people learn. Like, kids listen better than adults. Like, how old are you? 20 something, 30 something? Like, what the fuck? Yeah, that was just, the 2 weeks I've had. And it's just, I don't know. I don't get it. And then after all of that, I wrote my little, spiel. I wrote my spiel in case that ever happens to me again. And I said, not only are you flying this aircraft, this flight is operated by my company, and we have certain regulations, and passengers need to follow it. And unless you do not want to, would you like to be escorted by the captain or the gate agent? You have the captain, first officer, or the gate agent. I would love to do it myself, but I cannot leave the aircraft because we boarded everybody and I need to stay inside. But yeah, all airlines have the same thing. If you do not comply with what we are telling you, good luck find a way home. It's like, if you don't want to follow these directions, simple directions I am telling you, I suggest you rent a car. And if you do not want to drive 12 hours, oh well, too bad, because let me tell you something, you just got blacklisted and you're not gonna fly with this company. And good luck if you, I'm pretty sure the gate agent will like to, put you on a different, like a Spirit, Spirit, airline or something. And if they don't fly to where you're going, oh well, rent a car. I don't know, something like that. But yeah, that happened. And then this week, just for the heck of it, I flew with my flight attendant friend to the beach in Mexico. We went to Puerto Vallarta, and it was really nice. Apparently, they started some really hardcore COVID regulations this week, and supposedly last week they were fine, but this week, because we decided to go, we didn't know about the regulations because they were just new and they were like in the red state or whatever. So when we went, we didn't know that the beaches closed at 3 p.m. So from like 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. or something, and we didn't know that. So out of luck. And but we had a good time, or we tried to have a good time. And it's only him and me that are still working as flight attendants from our training class. That was 12 of us, and now it's only 2 of us. And we became really good friends. And so because we were flying the whole time, everybody in Mexico, everybody even on the plane thought that, you know, we were like a couple or something. And everybody in Mexico, you know, if you've flown to Mexico, if you're Mexican, you know this. Everybody's been like, "Oh, is that your husband? Is that your wife? Oh, like this and that." Like, yeah, it's just like that. And if we could get a dollar for every time we heard that, our trip would have probably been free. Even though it was already free, kind of, but you know, maybe part of our hotel would have been paid off. But yeah, we got that a lot, but it was still fun. We got the heat, we got away from the snow and the cold for a little bit, and I miss it. But yeah, that's what this week's podcast episode is about, is all the things that happened to me, the good and the bad and the ugly. And if you have any other questions, if you guys would like to know anything else, or just let me know how this is going out, or how you enjoyed hearing this. You know where to find me on my Instagram at FA Confess. That's flight attendant confess. FA Confess. Or if you have me on Facebook, Snapchat, anywhere else that you listen to this, you can also hit me up there, and let me know if you have any questions or feedback. Any type of feedback or what else you would like to listen to on the next one. This one was just, you know, a little bit of a rant, actually, of what happened to me. But also, like, you know, if you have an answer to my question of why are people like this? Why do you think people are entitled feeling when they fly too, like, because they fly so often that they already know the regulations and whatnot? Well, actually, if you know the regulations, then why do you just go against them? I don't understand. I don't get people. But anyway, just let me know if you would like to listen to anything else. Just let me know. Feedback is good. And with all of that being said, I hope you guys really enjoyed this week's episode on podcast about my flight attendant confessions. You'll hear from me next time. Bye-bye.